Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, and we have an amazing guest for you today, so we're going to get right into it. No fancy introduction where I talk about the last game or the next game. We have Chris Carter in the house. He's in Sports Authority Studios, and he joins us as the guest on today's Wobcast. What's up, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You're back in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I always enjoy coming back here.
Yeah.
Just back doing a couple of stories on a couple of guys on the team, Adrian, Percy Harvin, sitting down with Coach Frazier.
For ESPN, of course.
Yes.
We all see you on TV doing your thing, Mike and Mike in the Morning and Countdown and all that. You have a good time doing that, don't you?
Absolutely, I do. I'm very, very fortunate to be able to play as long as I did, but to have something, an outlet where I'm still very, very close to the game, and I'm able to kind of feed that football appetite that I have.
I got a surprise for you. I got something that you might not have known.
Okay, go ahead.
The 14th anniversary of your 77th career touchdown, which came from Brad Johnson, and it broke the Vikings' all-time record for touchdowns held by Bill Brown. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You had a lot of touchdowns. You remember how many you had?
Yeah, 130.
An amazing career. You walk up and down the hallways. We got pictures of you up on the wall. You see Paul Wiggin, who's been with us for a long time. It's a lot of fun to come back to Minnesota, huh?
It really is. I had a great time here. My experiences here were great. The people were great. The fans and the organization, you know, those are things that I will always have in my life to be able to cherish.
We're big on community involvement here. That's been a big thing for the Vikings. It was a big thing for Denny Green, but the Wilfs take over, and it continues to be something that they really value. You were a Community Man of the Year here. Do you remember your involvement in the community? What were a couple of things that you really tried to stay involved with? Any groups or organizations?
Right. I always tried to challenge kids to things, and I was known for being on the Vikings, so we came up with the Viking Super Challenge, where we challenged the kids. We adopted schools in the inner city. I wanted to have an effect on kids that had the demographics a lot like I had. There's nothing wrong with doing things in the suburbs, but for me, my heart is with kids that have gone through the same experience in life, either parenting, economically, education, that I've gone through. So I've always tried to reach back to them. When I was in Minneapolis, that's what we did. South Minneapolis, we adopted schools there, we started there. And then I began to branch out, and I had other players on the team adopt a school where they would go once a month. And we challenged them to several things, abstaining from drugs and alcohol, abstaining from premarital sex, abstaining from violence, and also trying to improve themselves academically every day. So we signed like an NFL contract, and we had it drawn up just like an NFL contract. I signed it, they signed it, and I would come every month to check on them and get reports, and then ultimately we had gifts and things and prizes, and a lot of kids went to see the Vikings games and did well in it.
That's part of it for being an NFL player, right? Because you're on this big pedestal. You got to show up on Sundays at noon and play, but you also have a responsibility to the community, right?
I think you do, but I think also as an organization, it's important to let the young players coming into the organization know that this is what we do here. This is not new. This is what you're going to be involved in, and you're in these cities, and you're making a lot of money in these cities, but it doesn't make sense for you just to take from there, and you should be able to give back and give back to young people in the city that you're playing.
All right, let's cut to the chase. You had over 1,000 receptions in your career. As a Viking, you had 110 touchdowns, over 12,000 receiving yards, so you know offense, all right, and passing offense specifically. You were joking with Coach Frazier when you were interviewing him. I was wearing my purple on TV in September because things were going great, and then the last few games, you haven't been able to wear your purple. You asked them if you were going to be able to wear your purple in December, and he assured you yes. So I want to ask you, and a big reason why we've been struggling is our passing game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say in a hypothetical situation, Bill Musgrave, our offensive coordinator, calls you in and says, Chris, I want your advice on a couple things. What do we need to do to help fix our passing offense? What would you tell him?
They got to be healthy, all right? Jerome Simpson's got to be healthy. He's not as explosive as he was earlier in the year. He's had some foot nagging the last several weeks. Percy's got to be healthy.
Yep.
And Christian Ponder, he's got to make throws, you know, because there's going to be four or five throws during the course of the game. The guy's going to be somewhat covered, but you got to be able to stick the ball on a guy. And that's the development that he has to go through. Besides other, you know, so you're not going to always be open. One of the wide receivers, when the offense is struggling, need to come up and make a play that no one would make to get the momentum.
You were always open, though.
Well, not always open, but I don't mean you can't catch the ball. You don't have to be open catch the football.
Okay.
But I believe to make one of those difference-making plays to give a young offense momentum.
So with Christian being a young quarterback, he's got 19 starts, I think. You know, and there's some quarterbacks that come in and hit the ground running, they're ready to go. Andrew Luck, you know, number one overall pick, he hit the ground running, he was ready to go right away. Matt Ryan was basically ready to go right away. There's some that take a while to develop. You know, Drew Brees took a little bit. Tony Romo didn't play for his first three seasons. Mm-hmm. So Christian is probably somewhere in between there. But as a receiver, and you have a young quarterback like Christian Ponder, what's going through your mind? Like with Percy Harvin, what's going through his mind out there when some days are good, but some days aren't good?
Well, some of the quarterbacks that you compare to, Drew Brees and Tony Romo, those guys came into a different NFL. Mm-hmm. Young quarterbacks now, they don't have as much time. For one, they're playing earlier, and their experience in football and their experience of the passing game is far more advanced. One of the things about Christian Ponder, one of the advantages that they said was he had an offense that was a lot like the Vikings. Well, it's not looking like his offense in college is a lot like the Vikings. So there's no need to make excuses for him. He has to grow in the game. But guys, also, they have to make plays. Percy Harvin, when you have a young quarterback, you have to be precise. You have to get to your mark. If the route calls for 14 yards, you got to get there. The route calls for cover two, I got to run a post corner. You got to be able to make the adjustments, and you got to be able to make them nice and clean. So the young quarterback, when you get to the top of your route, he's not confused.
Yeah. What do you think about Percy Harvin?
I love Percy. I think he's a good player. Yeah. I think that I would like to see him play outside the numbers more because I believe that his overall value would go up as a football team, but I love the way they utilize him. I love the way to see that he's transferred his skills from Florida to the NFL.
You know, we've been lucky. We've had a couple of guys go into the Hall of Fame that were former Vikings the last few years. You know, mm-hmm. It's been fun to go there. And in the game program, which I helped put together, we always put a page or two about the guy that goes in. And then the next page, I always say, who's next? You know, which former Vikings next? Mm-hmm. I got you on that page. Are you going to get in there?
I don't think about it much. Like, I don't talk about it much because I don't have to because I'm not voting on it. Like, yeah. So
we're going to get you in there.
I don't think you guys have anything to do with it.
We're trying. We're trying, man. We're doing everything we can do.
Well, you ain't working hard enough then.
Dang.
If you're responsible for me getting in, then you're not working.
I'm not the only one. We got to keep working. You saw Sid up there. Sid Hartman's up here. He's pulling for you, man.
I just don't do too much talking about it. There's no benefit to talking about it. There's, you know, they have a process. We've been very, very fortunate as an organization to be able to get the guys into the Hall of Fame that we've gotten in the last several years. And it really should be more about them and their candidacy and getting in the Hall of Fame than talking about me potentially getting in. I think it takes something away from what they accomplish.
You know what's a pretty cool stat with you and the Vikings? 16 years in the NFL, I think you played total. Is that right?
Yes. Right.
Do you know how many losing seasons you went through?
One?
Two.
Oh, two.
Two losing seasons.
The second one I forgot.
Unbelievable. They're good. Forget them. That's good.
That last one with the Vikings.
I mean, with how hard it is to win in the NFL every single week, to go through that many winning seasons was incredible, huh?
Well, here, you know, we thought as the Vikings as a winning organization. You know, so we felt as if we were going to put a winning team out there every year a couple times. Coaches in transition and stuff. We didn't have winning seasons, but besides that, we felt like we were always competitive. Felt like we could beat anyone on the field.
All right, man. Well, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank
you. Vikings-Lions, what do you got this weekend? What's going to happen? You're going to be on TV talking about it, so you better be prepared.
I'll be prepared. I'm trying to figure out which segment I'm going to tell you. If the Vikings can't throw the ball, they won't win.
Right.
Okay? Like, is it as simple as that? For the most part.
Yeah. These aren't the Lions of the 90s, man, anymore, right?
I mean, no, they're really, really talented. And they've played well the last couple weeks. And, I mean, they're starting to run the ball, get some mix. You know, their defense still has some question marks as far as their back end.
Yeah. All right, man, we'll let you go.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
All righty.
Let's transition from one wide receiver to another. We go from Chris Carter to Percy Harvin. Our beloved Percy might not play this week. He has an ankle injury, which he suffered last weekend. We're not ruling him out here on the Wobcast, but there is a possibility that Percy will be unavailable to play on Sunday against Detroit. What does that mean? Well, Percy has 100 touches. You add up receiving, rushing, and returning. That's 100 touches over 9 games. Quick math says that's 11.1 touches per game. So, round it down, that's 11 touches against the Lions that the Vikings might have to account for without Percy Harvin. Where are they going to go? I have 3 names for you. The first one, Jarius Wright. And fans have been asking, where is Jarius Wright all season? Because Jarius hasn't played in a game. So if Percy doesn't play and if Jarius Wright is active, this will be his first NFL game. The first thing is, let's temper the expectations. This is not Percy Harvin. Jarius Wright could end up being a great player for the Vikings someday in the near future or next season or whenever. But he's not plug-and-play Percy Harvin replacement. He's not quite as sudden. He doesn't have as much experience. He's just not the same guy right now. But he might be able to come in and fill in for Percy. He can play in the slot. We saw him do well as an outside receiver against Houston in the preseason. He might be able to do that too. And also, I think he has some return ability, so don't be surprised if Percy doesn't play and Jarius Wright is active. Don't be surprised if Jarius Wright gets a kickoff return chance or two if Mike Prefer decides to go that way instead of Marcus Sherrills. The second name is John Carlson. Of course, he got hurt in training camp, hasn't really found his legs yet in this offense, missed the last two games with a concussion, but he has been cleared. He practiced this week, and both Leslie Frazier and Bill Musgrave said they're going to try and get John Carlson more involved. Now, saying it is one thing, doing it is another, but there's going to be an emphasis on getting John Carlson involved. Keep in mind, the Vikings run the fifth most two tight end sets in the NFL. So John Carlson is healthy, he's going to play, and he's going to be on the field. He's a guy who could get more touches if Percy Harvin doesn't play. And the third name, and the most important name, is Rudy, Kyle Rudolph. We have to get him more involved, whether Percy plays or not. We have to get Kyle more involved. But if Percy doesn't play, we especially need to lean on Kyle Rudolph. The guy can be unguardable in the red zone if you put him in the right situations. The size-speed combination is too much for a lot of linebackers to handle. And this Detroit defense is going through some problems with injuries, specifically one of their starting linebackers, DeAndre Levy, hasn't played the last two games. He's got a hamstring. Whether he plays or not, we don't know. If he does, you test that hamstring with Kyle Rudolph. If he doesn't, you take advantage of his replacement. Again, Rudy, just two receptions the last three games. That has to change. So, if Percy doesn't play, those 11 touches, I expect them to be spread out among Jarius Wright, John Carlson, and most importantly, Kyle Rudolph. He's been stuck on five touchdowns for a few games. We got to get him his sixth. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we leave you with a hit from David Bowie. Take it away.